Hello and welcome back to the Heart Song Yoga Podcast. I'm Kelly.
And I'm Sarah.
And this week we are diving into a series discussion again on the chakra system, starting with Muladhara, the base chakra.
Yes, I get very excited when we go into the more subtle realms. I like exploring the many layers. There's many layers to each of these chakras because you could think of them as regions of consciousness within our being. And Muladhara is very much connected to our sense of trust, our sense of being secure and stable sort of on the earth, because that's our sort of big home, isn't it? It's like, so it represents all those areas where you feel safe and connected and grounded and that's my first thing when I think of Muladhara. It's like I think of the big trees and I think of the roots going down into the earth and that real sense of being connected and held in a very stable, secure, centered place where things can go on around you, but it doesn't throw you off kilter, so to speak.
I always think of rocks for some reason.
Oh, that's interesting. You think of rocks. Well, they're very grounded, aren't they?
Well, they are ground, really, aren't they? Doesn't get much closer than that.
No. But, so it's like, what are the common themes? You know, what are the common themes when you start thinking about sacral center groundedness and what supports you? What supports you when, you know, perhaps the bottom has fallen out of your life? What do you turn to? What supports you? What brings back that sense of I'm okay, I'm safe? You know, what is that for you?
It's a good question to ask. I always feel like, you know, you get that sense of, you know, the bottom's fallen out, but actually it hasn't really. That was the false floor.
That's good.
There's this foundation to you that is immovable. That, you know, that will always catch you, so to speak. And I suppose that might be rock bottom, but, you know, it might not be a nice place to be if that's the only thing you're sitting in and, you know, you've lost connection to everything else above it. But it will be there. You're not going to fall forever. That's the flip side of if things do kind of crack apart in your life on every level and you're sort of left in free fall, so to speak, it's, you know, being at rock bottom means that you've been caught, you know, and from there you can climb up. And that's not necessarily, it might not be pleasant, but it's not a bad thing. That's there for a reason. It's sort of a safety net, so to speak.
And it's almost like if you think of, I always come back to trees for my analogies, but if you think of the tree and the shallow rooted tree that could get easily blown over in a storm and then it's gone, it's ripped out of the ground. So when it comes back to grow as a tree again, another tree might send its roots deeper, you know? So it's like, it's like thinking about, and that's sort of like, when you think about sending your roots deeper, that's really thinking about the foundations that support your life. What are they? You know, where do you live? How secure do you feel where you live? All those sorts of real base survival needs to be met.
Yeah, I tend to think of it more as like a river or an ocean, and this is the bedrock, and everything else flows over the top of it. But yeah, it is about sort of your home, I suppose.
Well, for humans on Earth, I suppose shelter is a basic requirement. So it's one of those things that, you know, you don't feel very secure if you haven't got anywhere to live.
Even if you're nomadic, even if you live in a caravan and your current address is traveling around the country, you know, it's still, do you feel safe doing that?
I like your analogy when you said the bedrock. So it's true. It's like we do need to have, regardless of the materialistic needs we have, we do absolutely need to have within us that core intrinsic sense that we can develop, that we are okay, that we have that inner strength to feel that we can hold our center no matter what goes on around us. And so what can you do to bring that? What do you do? What can you do to have that sense of that in your life?
I think, yeah, it's an important skill to cultivate, to be able to, no matter what else is going on, to drop through that and go, on some level, this is, you know, I am still okay. And I think I was in a Donna Fari workshop, maybe. You would have been there too, Sarah, where she did a relaxation sequence, and one of the things she sort of was talking about was, right now you are okay. It doesn't matter what else is going on, you know, in your life. But right now you are lying on the floor right here. Nothing is physically threatening you, you know, you're okay. And when you take it right back into the very present moment, it doesn't really matter what else is on fire around you, so to speak, metaphorically, not literally. If the house is on fire and you're lying down, that is a threat and you need to move. It's, you know, right now you're okay. Can you get right into that moment of at this precise point in time, I'm here and I'm home, and and then move forward, you know. And I think if you can get back to that, then you are much more sort of calm and centered about dealing with the problems around you, rather than sort of panic and flicking away from one thing to the next, and not actually solving anything. So so that is perhaps a base chakra practice.
Absolutely, yeah. And what takes you there, Kel? Do you have a practice that you draw on when you need to be in that space?
It's just a presence, really. It's I think it's become a case. So the other side of it for me is that initially I used to kind of have to just stop. I suppose it would be a physical stop. So stop moving and sit or lie and just sort of focus on being still, because that connects you to the stillness of the deep roots, you know. And then having got that, then you need to realize that also you need to move. So if you're in some sort of emotional turmoil, like if I'm feeling particularly stressed or upset about something, then you sort of can find that deep place, and then from there you let everything unravel around you and stop holding on. It's a weird sort of thing to explain, but the idea is that having found that deep root space, which is just a process of becoming still,
I'm present.
And then being present, then you can let everything kind of pull, and, you know, like a tree swaying in the wind, I suppose. You let that happen and you feel it. Don't block it out. Don't push it away. So becoming still does not mean pushing away emotion or blocking motion or ignoring things. It's about sort of really acknowledging the problems almost, you know. It's
that,
kind of coming back, okay, I'm going to be really still, I'm going to sit here, and everything's, you know, right now physically, and you have to tell yourself physically you're okay, because the mental sort of stress translates the same way in the body as if you were being chased by a tiger. So, you know, you sort of have to acknowledge that that's not happening, but then look at what is.
And
I think perhaps a lot of us don't, you know, we tend to think that finding that still space and that calm and being connected to those sort of, you know, well, I'm fine, my house, I've got a home, I've got food, I've got, you know, materially I'm okay, so I don't get to be stressed about other things, you know, that's not true. And I think we can easily spend too long ignoring or looking away from our problems, because either we don't want to look at them and we don't have the connection to that sense of security to feel safe looking at them, or we feel like we shouldn't be concerned about them because, well, you know, first world problems. And I think that's such a terrible phrase.
It is.
It really belittles real issues.
Yeah.
And every problem you have is relative.
Is real, yeah.
You know, you have not been shot in the stomach and are bleeding out in the street. That's, you know, that's means that you don't have to think about that right now, but it doesn't mean you don't have problems. And
that are real, so, for you. Know,
The immediacy might not be the same. The mortal threat might not be the same, but that doesn't mean that there isn't still something going on in our lives. The whole process is of this growth and movement and learning. As soon as you move anywhere, you're going to encounter new challenges. So you can't ignore those or dismiss them because of external social pressure. So I suppose the other side, and this maybe moves a little bit out of Muladhara, but is being really deeply connected to your roots and what you stand for and what sort of being human and here and spiritual means to you, and then addressing your problems from that space and not from the values that society throws at you.
That's important, I think, for sure. to have a sense, because that's all part of knowing who you are, and knowing who you are comes back to being deeply rooted in that sense of connection to yourself, to this root chakra, to stability within you. And that means like being comfortable in your physical form, or also, you know, so this is what you've got to work with in this lifetime, and that's part of being grounded in your body. So there's all these layers to this sort of state of being, because a lot of people can be ungrounded and out of their body. And so coming back into being fully grounded within your skin, if you like, and then bringing yourself back into using the breath. So if you're thinking of techniques to bring you more into the moment, to reconnect and ground and be in that still, centered space, it's what can you do to bring you into that inner centered stillness? One of the yoga practices that I like for getting me there is Tadasana. And it's being guided through a process where you just realign your body and let your feet open to the earth, and it brings you into the moment. And you use your breath to go in, and you do a little bit of vertical alignment breathing to sort of anchor you to the earth, and to perhaps release the busyness of your mind up into the clouds, and then to come into your heart and see if you can anchor that sacredness of the mountain within you, so that it's almost like if you can practice something that feels grounded, like a mountain, for example.
Especially if you can do it outside.
Yes, if you can get that feeling and anchor it into your heart, almost like you're putting that sacred mountain feeling into your heart, and it doesn't matter where you are then, you can use the power of your mind to come back into that place, to reconnect in that moment to that sacred mountain that really begins to bring you back to that centered, calm place of inner stillness. It's a powerful practice. It's a simple practice. Tadasana is actually not such a simple practice, because it's not easy to bring yourself to stillness and stand straight and aligned. You know what I mean? For some people, that's not easy at all.
Master poses are a paradox. That is. They are simple and complex at the same time.
But that for me, with the visualization of grounding into the earth and then up into the heavens, and it's like that really sort of brings the immensity, but also back to the immensity of who you are and the power you have, but also it brings you right back into the core of your being, of how small you are at the same time, if that makes sense, when you're in the presence of a mighty mountain, the stillness and the majesty. It's pretty amazing to actually get to feel that in the presence of mountains. That to me symbolizes for me. Yes,
I would say also Makarasana.
Yes, yeah.
I suppose if you're perhaps in a bit too much turmoil for Tadasana.
Yeah, and you need to lie down.
Then I would say, rather than just lying down or curling in a ball, then Makarasana would be the pose I would go to, especially once again, if you can get outside and do it on the grass or on the beach, maybe. It'd be like a crocodile. And when you think about it, crocodiles are so grounded. They almost blend into the ground. And they are so still, and they're solid like rocks, you know. It's like when you watch a crocodile sleeping. And I always sort of think of the ones at up north, the freshwater crocs. You can sort of, some of the gorges, you can walk around and walk right up to them, and they're just solid and unmoving and unconcerned that there is somebody walking around past, you know. It's just, and so if you sort of embody that sense of, okay, I now meld myself with the earth, it holds you.
That's nice.
But at the same time, it is a little bit, and this is the important part of it to me, that Tadasana doesn't quite do, so it depends where you're at, and I would try both and see how you feel. Tadasana is a very powerful pose. It's a self-empowering pose. Makarasana is more of a release, but also it forces you to feel vulnerable.
It's like a surrender, isn't it?
You've got your back. to the world, to the sky, you know.
Mm.
Anything could be coming up behind you, like a crocodile sleeping on the ground, and you wouldn't know. Mm. And you have to trust that you're safe there. Mm. So obviously do this somewhere where you are safe. But I think just that pose of being belly down on the earth kind of gets your whole front body is connected to and held by the earth, and you can release a lot of emotion down into the earth, and it will take that for you. And then, but then there's a sense of vulnerability as well. So you're not blocking. I think when you're in Makarasana, you can't block things.
Yeah. Yeah. That's...
So it's a nice pose to explore, to move difficult emotions if you're feeling very turbulent and you can't get back to that still base chakra space.
Yeah. Yeah. But I like that wording you just used, and I've forgotten what it was now, but I think it was that sense of being, being held by the earth that you said. I think you said being held, and that you know, that's a nice
and that happens in Tadasana too.
It does for me. Yeah,
Tadasana, if you especially if you are less so if you're trying to do Tadasana maybe on the beach and the waves are eroding the sand from your feet. it's a different feeling. But if you're on a mount, if you're in a mountain range or on a hill or something and you can practice Tadasana, you will get that sense of the earth holds you there. It is very much, you know, a supported space to be in.
It's an incredible place to be in.
But much more externally aware probably than in a prone pose such as Makarasana. Mm.
Two good examples. So, yeah, something to explore and contemplate and, yeah, what does it mean to you? You know, can you discover how you can, you know, be more grounded? How can you feel more connected, centered, safe?
Can you find that deep centered roots of yourself?
Deep centered roots of yourself. That's nice. Yeah. That's the essence of Muladhara, really, deep-centered roots. And this forms the foundation that holds the rest. So it's like if you haven't got those deep foundational roots, then there's not a very firm foundation for the other centers that we'll explore as we go on to sit upon. So it's really important that you find ways of being able to connect to these deep-centered roots. Nice.
Yes, indeed. Thank you for listening. We will talk to you again next week.
See you next week. Bye.
Bye.